Welcome to the Big Mike Fun Podcast, where you'll learn about advanced wealth building strategies from real estate investing to creating massive ROI and secure retirement profits. So pour yourself a cup of coffee, grab a notepad, and lean in, because Big Mike has got the mic, starting now.
Welcome to the Big Mike Fund. I'm the Big Mike, Mike Zlatnik. Today, it is my distinct pleasure to welcome Dr. Forrest Bryant to the podcast. Hi, Forrest.
Hey, Big Mike. Thanks for having me on today.
I appreciate you coming on the podcast. It's great to have you. So Dr. Forrest Bryant is a CEO of High Speed Alliance. It's the networking mastermind of dentists, doctors, and business owners. He's a great networker. I've known him personally for a while. And we just went, he graciously invited me to a family office event here in New York City. I attended that. That was a very interesting experience. So I appreciate that gracious invitations. Could you tell my audience a little bit about who you are? Who is Dr. Forrest Bryant?
I'm a father. Now, that's probably my number one job. A husband, been married 22 years, got two beautiful kids, getting ready to send my first kid to college in about 2.5 weeks. So mama and I have been holding back the tears and the joy just a little bit. But I'm also, and I think that's one of the reasons that we're on the call today, I'm the CEO of High Speed Alliance, and we're very proud of the networking community that we've built. We really have two sides to what we do, and we have physicians and dentists and small business owners that come to us, and we provide really three different services for them. One of those is business consulting. We help them take their business and optimize it and maximize the active income that's coming from that business. We also provide life coaching for them, and we help them set their goals for not only freedom, money, and time, but also legacy. So we're very much legacy minded. And the third part, which encompasses really the financial and the investment aspect of what we do, is we're a registered investment advisor. So we provide investment advice for them. And a lot of those things are traditional, but also alternative. So we're very passionate about real estate and other types of alternative investments. And the other side of our community is the deals and the sponsorships and the people that come in. We call them consultants that have services or products. Some of those are investments that allow them to take the capital that they're bringing to the table, the nest egg and the money that they're working really hard for, and we help them put those into really good solid deals. So that's a little bit about High Speed Alliance, but we're so passionate about it. We're actually, your podcast is probably a lot like mine. The commentary is supposed to be evergreen, and you know, it's going to live out there forever, but I'm still on a high. We just got back from one of our live events this weekend down in beautiful Florida, and just had an incredible event, and it's our community is just, it's so much fun. And everybody's working together just with like-mindedness to reach that freedom and legacy. And so I'm still a little bit on a high. So if I'm kind of amped up, Mike, you know, it's like I've had a dozen cups of coffee, but I'm excited to be here. Thanks.
Forrest, it's great to hear. Very excited for you that you have had such a degree of success with the mastermind, with the community. Very happy for you on a family level too. I wanted to come, and my oldest one is going to college too. So in exactly what you're going through, it is an exciting time to have your kid go to college. So that's the most important thing in life. You know, people ask what really matters in life. Well, your family matters. I mean, I want to correct this joke. I think I correct this joke in a podcast, but you will appreciate this. So years ago, I used to work in the software. I spent almost 15 years in software development, managing big teams. And to make a long story short, we used to have this joke that under normal circumstances, God is first, then the family, then the work. That's supposed to be the priority in life. But the software engineers were joking that we pray to God that the family understands that the work comes first. That's a terrible joke. So anyway, but I wanted to say I'm really, really happy to hear your daughter's going to college. That's great. Let's talk a little bit more about what do you do for the folks that come to you, to your mastermind, to your events? Because a lot of professionals like doctors, dentists, and business owners, they're razor focused on what they do. They are specialists. They're specialists in one field, and they don't know what to do. They don't know how to invest. They don't know how to make business decisions. They don't know how to underwrite. So they put a lot of trust into these relationships with you to be able to bridge that gap of building trust. But that process takes often years. Putting the money, hard-earned money of many years of savings into great investments is a very important step in their life and career. So how do you go about as part of your registered advisor process? How do you help folks to make the right decisions for their own personal circumstances?
Great question. And so a lot of times that works with when we're onboarding a new client. You know, we start with them with we do a very comprehensive, holistic approach to financial planning. So we input all of the data of their entire life. So we start off with everything. It's every asset, every liability. We have a very robust financial planning process. So we input, and we love our software system that's investment grade encryption. So we actually link to their accounts, and so we bring all of that in, and we're able to build a moment in time. My clients can look at this dashboard, and they'll know exactly what their net worth is right now. But one thing that's really great, and this is one thing that really separates us from probably any other advisor out there, is the way that we're able to cash flow forward and project. So, you know, example of that would be, you know, if somebody comes in and they have a portfolio of single family homes, maybe they're doing some private lending, maybe they're in a few syndications, and we can actually take that and we can project out what that's going to look like in 10, 15, or 20 years. So, you know, we can actually code in the income, the expenses, the depreciation, the taxes. We can forecast what that looks like. We factor in inflation. We can amortize the loans out. With syndications, we're able to model what it looks like if they've got an 8% preferred and they're looking at a 2 to 3x return 5 years down the road. So, I mean, there's nobody else out there, I don't think, that can actually go and make those type of projections. And that's one thing that really separates us apart from other investment advisors that are only focusing on stocks and bonds and mutual funds. And, you know, they can put a number in, you know, oh, well, this is going to go 8% net of fees or inclusive of fees. And, you know, that's worthless because who knows what the stock market's going to do, if it's going to go up or if it's going to go down. We don't really know what's going to happen. But as you know, real estate is very predictable in a lot of ways. And so, you know, when I know you and I love some of the same things, we love self-storage, we love multifamily. I don't know that we have talked about senior living and assisted living, independent living, memory care. That's one thing that I'm passionate about as well, is in addition to single family and private lending. So, you know, to be able to pour all of that into a bucket and figure out what that's going to look like in 10 years is very complex. So, you know, that's one of the ways that we really stand out from other advisors out there, is just, you know, having the registration and having the license and having the understanding of not only the traditional, but also the alternative. And they've been able to really help our clients take a good look at what they're investing in, just make sure that it makes sense with their objectives, their risk tolerance, their time frame, and just kind of factoring all of that in there and helping them make really good decisions going forward. And not only that, but we also have the network where, you know, say if they say, oh, well, I'd like to add a little self-storage to my portfolio. Okay, great. You know, here's somebody that we've worked with in the past that's in our community, and I can show you what they're doing right now, and you can actually meet them at one of our local events. And so they're developing that type of connection, and that builds trust, and that builds, you know, kind of gets up the leverage
and the trust quicker. As you know, we're talking about the family office industry, and one of the quotes that they use there is it typically takes, and for those of you listening that may not understand when I say family office, typically we're talking about a family that's got 100 million plus in net worth. So a lot of times if they're looking, and by the way, little value, that those family offices are looking for the same things a lot of your listeners are looking for, in the same things that you invest in your fund. I mean, they're looking for direct investments or co-investments into businesses. They're looking for self-storage opportunities and multifamily. They're looking for senior living. They're looking for all of those types of things that are circa real estate. But family offices typically takes about 7 years for them to develop the type of relationship with somebody, 7 years of due diligence in order to make that first investment. So a lot of our physicians, we like to speed that up, and we like to speed up the trust level to get somebody up the tree in order to pull the trigger, so that they feel comfortable making that investment.
This is great. I have a couple of just comments listening to you. I really enjoy and appreciate and agree with the wide majority of your points, probably all of them. Because I share the investment philosophy. We personally, and on the fund level that I manage, we make a lot of investments in the, let's just call them cash flow focused defensive investments, a lot more than the aggressive growth play. So you talked a little bit about doing the right thing for your clients on the financial advisory side. And I don't know anybody, and I know a number of financial advisors, who does what you do with alternative investments. I think it's a strong differentiating point. I know a number of sort of, let's just call them traditional financial advisors, and all they have is a Wall Street products. They are firms, and they work for firms that have approved products, and they're pretty much all Wall Street-driven type of funds, either the REITs. That the alternative investment product is a REIT. The traditional funds are index funds, growth and income funds, but it's all Wall Street traded securities. And they, as I mentioned, the alternative investment space is so much broader and has returns so much greater than what REITs can deliver if you can actually step outside of the Wall Street area. Wall Street has made it extremely easy, as we know, and that's their power. That's why they're able to deliver poor results and milk you on fees, because they made it easy. So in the alternative space, our fund is an alternative investment fund, and many other individual deal syndicators, maybe self-storage, multifamily, retail, these are all alternative investments. And they're very, I use the same word as you do, I so much appreciate the word, predictability. It's one word that describes real estate to a decent degree, is predictability. So I'm going to acknowledge your strength, the software that can model what's going to happen to your alternative investments, true and alternative investment portfolios, investments in syndications, say self-storage or multifamily. And if you could do that, this is very powerful, that value add tool to your clients, to your audience, to your members. So I appreciate that. I wanted to acknowledge that is a very, very strong differentiator that I don't know anybody else who's doing. So let's take a quick step back and talk a little bit about today's market. One of the lead investors in the in our Temple Opportunity Fund flagship fund asked me last night the following question. So he found an article on Bloomberg talking about housing market slowing down. So there was an article, and I read the article, and I looked through it again. This is talking about residential, single family. Many markets, some markets are beginning to slow down. So what do you think about the macroeconomic picture? Are we about to see a recession? Are we about to see, so slowdown doesn't mean recession, but it is certainly an area of concern. I could absolutely attest certain markets have already taken a beating, especially the high-flying markets. Let's use an example of Miami condos. So Miami condos have taken it on the chin already, not collapsed, but they dropped 15-20% in many buildings. And there's some other high-end vacation markets that are taking a beating. So what do you think about the rest of America in general, many markets? Are we about to see slowdown? What do you think?
Great question. And so, you know, everybody always wants to know who's got the crystal ball and, you know, exactly what's going to happen. And I don't have a crystal ball, but I do have some opinions. And I'll tell you a little bit of this is backed up by fact. But and, you know, I didn't say this at the beginning, Mike, and I usually say this, but, you know, when you're in the securities industry, you usually have to have a disclaimer. So and I didn't throw it in at the beginning, but let me just throw it in right here.
Do it now.
Everything that I say is my opinion as a representative of High Speed Alliance. Please don't do anything based off of what I say on this podcast without talking with your own investment advisor to find out if it's the right thing for you to do with your particular situation. We're just talking in generalities, and these are my opinions, but I'm glad to give them. So let's talk.
This is for educational purposes only.
Educational purposes only. Absolutely.
Financial advisor, professional before making any investment decisions. How about
absolutely? So I love talking. Macroeconomics and geopolitics. I wish I could go back to school and study that. You know, we didn't even talk about it. You know, I used to be a dentist, so you know, I'm not an economist, but I do study it, and I'll give you my comments right now. Overall, you know, the macroeconomic picture right now is pretty hard to tell what's going on. Obviously, our economy. I follow. The conference board data every month. And so we're looking at the leading economic indicators. So I watch those very closely every month, the leading, the coincident, and the lagging economic indicators. So I'm constantly watching those so that I can help my clients to understand what's going on. You know, right now we're on the cusp, and I know you're an interest rate follower, but right now we are on the very, very cusp of a yield rate inversion. And so for those of you, I'm sure Mike probably might talk about this on his show regularly, but our 10-year bond rates and our 2-year bond rates, typically if you're looking at an investment, you would be looking at a much higher return for locking up your money over a longer period of time, which is usually your 10-year bond rate. Your short-term bond yield would expect it to be lower. But over the last few years, we've seen that these two rates have gotten closer and closer together, and they've almost converged. And so basically what that means is if you subtract those two, typically it runs about 2% difference between the 10-year and the 2-year. But now, and I haven't looked at it today, but I think we're at 20 basis points between the 10-year and the 2-year yields. And so really what that means, if you go back historically, and I showed this to my group last week, typically over since 1980, there have been 5 instances where the yield rate, this 10-year minus the 2 has gone to 0, which is the inversion point. And it's happened 5 times since 1980. And every single time, 5 out of 5, it's led to a following recession or depression. And so, and if you go back even further to 1960, it's happened 7 times, and 7 out of 7 times it's led to a recession or depression. So we're right on the very cusp of hitting 0 on that yield rate inversion. So, you know, I don't know, Mike, if things are going to change. The Federal Open Market Committee has already told us that they're continuing to up these rates, that they're going to march up. So, you know, if I had to look into my crystal ball, I would say it's inevitable that we're going to see a yield rate inversion probably before the end of the year. And almost every time, it doesn't happen immediately for you guys that are listening. I'm not trying to panic anybody, but usually you have sometimes 6 months to a year before that recession kicks in. So, you know, if something happens between now and the end of the year, you know, we may have a lot of 2019 where, you know, the thing that makes it, you know, when everybody says it's different this time, you know, our economy for a lot of aspects is doing really, really well. I think, you know, this is my personal opinion, but I think Trump has got a lot of our economy pointed in the right direction. And so we've got a lot of good things that even if the yield rate inverts, I think we're still going to see this thing kind of stretch out for a little while. I do think that it's a little bit different than it was before. I don't think that we're going to have this huge global financial crisis like we had 10 years ago. But I do think that we've got and we are preparing for that there are going to be some opportunities in the future. So I'm excited about some opportunities that may come as a surprise to some people. You know, I love teaching, Mike. And, you know, one thing that's been really, really just over the last week, got to spend 2 entire days, actually more than that. I got to spend probably 3 entire days with my son over the last week. We spent about 5 or 6 hours in the car yesterday coming back from Florida, and then last week we spent a full day driving down, and then the day after that we got to spend, just he and I got to spend a really great day just swimming in the ocean and just talking business. And so sometimes he gets tired of my coaching, but I'm always pouring into him. And you know, one thing that I shared with him is that I'm a contrarian, and I usually think opposite of what everybody else is thinking. And so, you know, 10 years ago when the market was just, it was rip roaring and it was going up, and everybody said, oh, there's no way in the world it's going to crash. It's going to go up forever. It's going to keep going up forever. Well, they were wrong, obviously, because it did crash. And, you know, the other thing, when we got down, you know, you get down into, you know, 2010, 11, you know, when you have hopelessness and recapitulation, when everybody's just giving up, and you know, they're saying, oh, it's never going to go back up. It's going to stay down forever. Well, they were wrong on both ends. And so, you know, if you're listening to this, you got to learn. And some, you know, so it takes a little time and effort, and it takes some experience to kind of broaden your mind and to think multi-generationally. And that's one thing that, you know, we really bring to the table, is we really think long term. And so we don't get scared about dips coming up down the road. We get excited about it. And so the tremendous, tremendous wealth is generated when there's opportunities in the market. And so we do see some opportunities coming up down the road, and we are preparing for those things. And so, you know, if you're listening, just to kind of recap that, you know, rates are rising. That's inevitable. I think we are going to see a yield rate inversion. I think that's definitely coming. I don't think it's going to happen, you know, overnight. I think we're going to have 12 to 18 months. The writing's on the wall right now. I mean, if you're looking at, you know, affordability in the U.S., we do have a housing crisis. You look at the cyclical markets on the coastal areas. You know, the prices are getting up there. Sometimes they're at or above where they were 10 years ago. I think I really like the flyover states. That's a very stable market. That's what we call a linear market. So, you know, everything is just linear there, and it's just kind of cooking along. In the cyclical markets, I think you are going to see some opportunity coming up down the road. So you kind of have to know what kind of investor you are. Do you want to be, you know, do you want to invest for that cash flow in those linear markets? Do you want to try to take advantage of that? The advantage in the cyclical markets, when you have more volatility, which can also mean more opportunities there, or maybe you're a hybrid investor where you want to look at a lot of appreciation and you also want a little bit of cash flow to go along with that. So you kind of have to know, you know, what you're looking for and what asset classes make the most sense for you. But don't be scared about, you know, what's coming up down the road. Just put yourself in a good position, have some cash and some access to cash, have access to capital when things go bad, whether that's through private lending or credit lines or what other sources of capital that you have, so that when things do start to tighten up down the road, that you're going to be able to put yourself in a position to take advantage of that. So whether you're a multifamily syndicator, you want to be able to go in there and pounce on that. If you're in self-storage, you know, I know we talked about value add. Let me throw this in, Mike. I'm a little leery of new construction products right now, just where we are. I think we're late in the fourth quarter cycle. I'm pulling back from new construction. I'm a big value add investor right now. I'm not scared to go into bigger projects, but I like them to be value add propositions where we're, you know, we know what we're getting into, and we can force value, and we can force cash flow, and we can force appreciation to those. But I'm a little, and I know there's a lot of guys that are doing a lot of new construction right now, and a lot of those are probably going to be fine. You know, I'm pulling back a little bit from that right now, just because it's pretty obvious where we are to me.
Thank you, Forrest. Wow, there's a lot of phenomenal information. The yield curve inversion, I'm going to just recap for the audience. The curve has been steepening to the point of the inversion, which is approaching. That's the main point here. And you're absolutely right. It's a great leading indicator, likely predicting some level of recession. So I just want to summarize that point and then move on. But I'll ask you the next question is when I'm all stopped, that will be, so what do you do? So besides increasing access to cash, which is absolutely the driver of opportunity, taking advantage of the upcoming opportunities, having cash. But what do you do today? That's the question. So let's just say everything you said is solid. You understand the likelihood of economy hitting some level of a slowdown, turning into recession. Do you start selling things today to increase the cash and sit in cash, or do you invest today into more cash generating projects? What do you do today? Because we don't know what the market will do. There might be a recession, it may be a very mild recession without a lot of price collapses. And if that happens and you sit in a lot of cash, you miss the opportunity. So it's always the chicken or the egg problem. Do you really, get all your eggs in terms of cash, or do you still keep a lot of your investments in the maybe more conservative bucket, more cash flow focused bucket, but you increase your cash position? And how much is that position? Is it 5%, 10%, 20%? What's the general guidelines going forward? So everything you said makes a lot of sense. I'm just trying to come to a, not advice, but more of an opinion of what is the right strategy going forward today, not when there is a problem. When there's a problem, everybody knows they need more cash.
I think the answer is going to be different for everybody, but this is just, my two cents. It starts with just taking a good inventory of what you got, and you got to think about what's your long-term strategy. So let's go a little bit deeper. So let's just say, let's kind of break it down to, if you've got some investments right now that maybe that they're in these cyclical markets, if it's maybe it's multifamily or maybe it's a single family, and you've had tremendous appreciation in those types of assets, now is a really good time to consider selling. You're at the top of the market or close to it, and if you've had a lot of appreciation, it's a good time to take a really good look at your portfolio. And if you've had a lot of appreciation and you want to really capture that, now is a really good time to think about liquidating that. I like to, I don't like to pay taxes any more than I have to. So I'm a big fan of 1031 exchanges, or I like keeping it in the family. I'm kind of a collector. I like holding on to things and passing it on to the next generation so that they get a stepped up basis.
Let me ask you a question on
sure.
that. Oh, this is a great, great point, and I wanted to continue on this train of thought. So when you sell appreciated assets, you can obviously do 1031 exchange and move forward, but you have very limited amount of time what to do with the money. So you either, I've heard of some funds where you park the money. I never used them. I'm not a specialist in that, but I've heard there's places to park the money. I don't know how good it is, how safe and how appropriate. Or what do you do? Because the issue at hand is if you want to get cash and you basically take too long to select the next asset, then eventually you blow up your 1031 exchange and the taxes are due. And if you go into 1031 exchange, you're buying assets at today's prices. So it'd be great to sell today, somehow put the money in the Zuzu land, get the tax deferral, and invest when there's some level of price reductions. So is there a vehicle for this? Or is there a great technique?
Okay, I'm gonna duck that one a little bit, and let me just say I'm not an accountant. My understanding of 1031s, and if the IRS is listening out here, that money has to go into a like-kind investment. So you have a certain period of time, which is several months, that you have to take that money, and in order to avoid the taxes on it, you have to roll that money into a like-kind investment in order That's to cool. do that. What you're talking about, that we'll leave that up to the accountants. I'm not going to comment on that kind of strategy to try to I don't like messing around with the IRS and trying to if the law is clear, we're gonna do this, but I certainly don't want to draw any ire from them to look at that kind of tax avoidance strategy. But the flip side of that, apart from selling appreciated assets right now and utilizing that 1031 exchange into a like kind investment, is really looking at the rest of your portfolio to see if it's in a good position to ride into the next phase. And so, one of the things that I love is recession resistant types of investments. And so those are the types of investments that are going to do good in any type of weather. And so examples of those would be self storage. A lot of times, you know, if you go back and you look at what happened in 2000, circa 2008 with the global financial crisis, we had a lot of people losing their jobs. We had a lot of businesses that were closing. And we had a lot of people that were having a difficult time. And so, some of the areas and some of the investment, asset classes that really did well during that time, one of them was self-storage. So if you have a lot of people and they have a, you know, say they have a, an A type of house or multifamily place residence that they're living in, you know, sometimes they need to downsize. And so if you're downsizing from a big house to a medium house, you're going to have extra stuff. And so where do you do with that stuff? A lot of times that stuff goes into self-storage. If you look at some businesses, and so a lot of times some of those businesses that were big, sometimes they need to reduce. Sometimes they need to get, you know, one of their fixed expenses is, you know, rent. And so a lot of times they're moving to a smaller facility to cut costs. They might have to let some people go. But what do they do with all that equipment and all those computers and all those printers? Sometimes they say, oh, we don't want to get rid of all this stuff. Let's just store it until we're ready to go back and we're ready to ramp back up. So a lot of times self-storage facilities, they actually did better. And so, you know, the occupancy rates on those things are really high right now. But, you know, we can just imagine that, you know, if things did slow down a little bit, that you'd have a lot of stuff, and sometimes I call it junk, but a lot of stuff and junk that's coming out of those. I, you know, I love the demographics of this model, but just because, you know, people just love to, they love their stuff and their junk, and they don't want to get rid of it. So they end up paying somebody like me or you to store their stuff, and they just never want to get rid of it. And, you know, we talk about the pain point. You know, some people are like, you know, that $79 a month that's on their credit card, you know, that hurts a little bit, but not too much. But the thought of going down to the self-storage facility and cleaning it out and figuring out what to do with that, I mean, that's painful. And so most people are like, I don't want to do it. I just let the charges keep rolling on the credit card. So, you know, it's a great business model, and it will do well when things start to slow down. You know, that's the type of investment that I like. And also, you know, tying this into other asset classes, you know, single family real estate and BNC markets, multifamily real estate and BNC markets. I mean, those are going to do great when things start to turn around. So little comment there.
Yeah, I appreciate that view. We you know, great minds think alike. So I share your view on self-storage completely. What's also most interesting on self-storage, and we own a number of these facilities in the fund, is the fact that they are so price insensitive to small increases. So you could take $79 a month, make it $89 a month. It's a monthly renewal, and there is nothing that people will do about the $10 extra a month. They're not going to get out of their junk and move to another facility a few miles away. So that's one of the strengths of the self-storage. If you communicate well, you could actually increase prices easily. And very different if your rent went up by a percentage. 10% increase in rent on your primary house, or, you know, it would be a big deal. But on a self-storage, you know, less two cups of coffee a month. So, yeah, back to the point I was making on the sale of assets. In many ways, we actually are now in a better environment to sell and pay taxes. I never advocate not paying taxes. In fact, nobody likes to pay taxes, but if you could sell at a peak of the market and pay reduced long-term capital gain because the rates have come down, and it's not a bad strategy. It's actually a fairly decent strategy. Take some money off the table and roll it when the market gets a little better. So I'm in agreement. All right, we're running a little bit short on time. I was going to ask you a couple more questions. And for the audience, so how would they get a hold of you if they're interested in High Speed Alliance? What do they do? You also have a podcast. So what's your podcast name, and how do folks reach out to you?
Our business is High Speed Alliance, and you can find us at highspeedalliance.com on the internet. And our podcast is highspeedpodcast.com, or High Speed Podcast, and highspeedpodcast.com is the website. Probably the best way to get in touch with me directly is just shoot me an email. It's drb at highspeedalliance.com. So you can do that. And you can also, you can connect with us on Facebook or LinkedIn or any of those social sites. But love to talk if you're a physician, a dentist, a small business owner, and you're looking at ramping up your business, you're legacy minded, you love a community that likes to do good and have fun. That those are the types of people that we hang out with and that we like to invite to our community. So if that's you, reach out to me. I'd love to meet you and talk with you. And if you're listening and you're on the deal side, we're always looking for really great people to bring. We've got a lot of multifamily syndicators and self-storage gurus and senior living, and we do a lot of private lending and single family, everything to do with single family homes. So those are some of the areas that we play. We also have access to direct investments into businesses. So a lot of times we've got some businesses that are geared towards financial technology or medical or just a lot of different things that we look at. And we're just always we're looking for good investments, and we love our family, and we love working together, and we like to travel, not just me personally, but our community. We like to go have meetings in fun places. So we have a good time and work together, and try to help each other. Our motto is further and faster together. So we like to go further than you think you can go and get there faster than you think you can. But you can only do that when you're working together inside our community.
Forrest, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate all your wisdom, your experience, your insight, and it's just a great episode. I'm sure audience is going to love it. Thank you kindly, and I appreciate once again you coming on the Big Mike Fund podcast.
Appreciate you, and appreciate you having me on, and looking forward to talking some more with you in the future and working with you in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Forrest.
Thank you for listening to the Big Mike Fund podcast. To receive your copy of Mike's How to Choose a Smart Real Estate Fund book, head to BigMikeFund.com or visit Amazon and type Mike Zlotnick. Keep listening and keep investing Big Mike style. See you on the next episode.